I would like to talk to you today about Jesus Christ and His Bible. You say, well, what do you mean? What was His Bible? His Bible was the Old Testament, because He was the fulfillment of the New Testament, and that was not in existence at the time that our Lord came to this earth. But what did He do with His Bible? Did you ever think about how Jesus used His own Bible, or how He was guided by the Old Testament? Here would be an interesting study if you'd like to do it. You ought to go through your Bible, in particular the Old Testament, but New Testament as well. Look at all of the conversations between God the Father and God the Son. You say, whoa, I never thought about that. Let me give you one which is part of this message. Listen carefully to what the book of Hebrews, you don't turn to it, listen to what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says. When Christ came into the world, He said to His Father, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do Thy will, O Father." What did Jesus say to His Father before He came here to earth? He said, "Father, I'm going into the world and I'm going to do what the book says. I am going to do what the Old Testament says I'm supposed to do when I get there." In other words, Jesus was going to follow His Bible. I think if we can learn this morning how Jesus treated His Bible, the Old Testament, it'll help us to learn how we should treat our Bible. So, He is an example for us. Before you turn to the text, several thoughts. Jesus gave us an example of how we should treat our Bibles in several ways. He quoted from His Bible when others asked Him questions. Sometimes the best answer you can get is to give somebody a verse of Scripture. He used verses to point people to God. He personally followed the Old Testament Scriptures as He lived His life here on earth. If I had no other reason to believe the Bible was God's Word, I would believe it because of all the hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament, and there is only one person I know in all human history who has fulfilled those verses of Scripture, and that is the person Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had such confidence in His Bible that He said it could not be broken. So, let's focus on just one of the ways that Jesus used His Bible this morning for this message. And here's my thesis. Jesus relied on His Bible when He was tempted to do wrong. I'll bet there's going to be something in this for all of us to take home with us. Would you turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. First thought, first temptation. The first temptation involves the will of God. Let me read verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "Well, if or since you are the Son of God, Why don't you command that these stones be made bread? And watch Jesus as he answers. He answered and said unto him, My Bible says, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan said, You know, since you're God's beloved son, why doesn't he feed you? Why are you hungry if you're so special? Doesn't your father love you? Go ahead. Why don't you use your own powers to meet your own needs? You don't need your father. When any of us get to the place in our lives where we feel that our Father doesn't love us, our Heavenly Father doesn't love us, or that He's not caring for us, we're yielding to Satan. And did you notice how Jesus answered the devil? He didn't philosophize. He didn't quote some other person. Jesus looked at Satan and says, The Word of God says, and he quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3. He simply said, Deuteronomy 8:3 says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, if you feed on God's word and you obey God's word, that is more important than any material things you may have or may not have. God's word, Jesus said, is food that sustains us. Temptation number one. The devil came and tempted him concerning the will of God. Does your father care for you or not? Temptation number two. This involves the ways of God. The first temptation involves the will of God. The second temptation involves the ways of God. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If you're the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down? For it is written, and then he quotes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This time, Satan quoted Scripture. And I will tell you, this became a personal challenge for me years ago. I said to myself, is it possible that the wicked one who is behind everything in this world knows more Scripture than I do? Let me ask you. How much Scripture could you quote? Or does the devil know more Scripture than you do? No wonder you don't have victory over Satan and the world and the flesh. Satan quotes Scripture. It's almost as if Satan says, Oh, you're going to quote Scripture to me? Let me quote a Scripture to you. You intend to live by the Scriptures, Jesus? then let me quote you a verse and let me see if you will obey it. By the way, best I can tell, Satan misquoted that verse. He left out some words, just for the record. But Jesus just simply answered him once again with the Bible. And this time he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which says, "We are not to tempt the Lord our God." Now this opens up a subject that all of us must understand. It has to do with the word temptation. Basically, temptation comes in two types of forms. Some temptations are a solicitation to do evil. But the word temptation is also used in the Bible to mean a test or trial. When it's used that way, that is something that God has designed for our good. Maybe we could put it this way. Sometimes the word temptation is a solicitation to do evil, to bring out the worst in us. But sometimes the word temptation is used as a test or a trial by God to bring out the best in us. But neither of these are the way Jesus responded. What Jesus did was reach back into his Bible, and he said, "My Bible says, don't tempt the Lord your God." Notice, this has to do with us tempting God. Doesn't have to do with the solicitation to do evil. Doesn't have to do with the test or a trial to bring out the best in us. It is possible for us to tempt God. You say, what does that mean? I'm going to give you what I believe is a definition with which will stand the test of the Scriptures. We tempt God when we challenge the truth of His Word or the goodness of His ways. We're tempting God. You don't care, Lord, about me? I mean, why did this all happen to me or to my family? Be careful. I have this question that I need to answer. Do I trust the way God is working in my life? And I could give you so many illustrations of things that I have gone through as a pastor. By the way, I consider it to be the greatest privilege to be a pastor. You have no idea. I will never, ever get over that God called me to be a pastor. It's an honor. What I have also gone through as a pastor, some difficult things, but the question I had to keep asking myself is, Lord, am I challenging the truth of your word or the goodness of your ways? I better not. I don't understand these ways, and I'm not sure I get all of this, but I trust you. Temptation number one has to do with the will of God. Temptation number two has to do with the way of God. Temptation number three has to do with the worship of God. Verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for my Bible says, it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You just taught me how to use my Bible concerning your will for me, the ways that you have for me, and who I must keep my eyes on, keep my focus on, the true and living God. So he quotes from Deuteronomy once again. Maybe we'll do this down the road, I don't know. What book is quoted most by the New Testament? Deuteronomy. When Jesus faced the devil, what book did he quote? All the three times, Deuteronomy. I'm going to give you a little hint. I taught this, by the way, in a Bible conference. Actually, it was this past summer. The first Sunday I was here, in between, I was at a week-long Bible conference, and I taught the book of Deuteronomy for today's world. And I said one of the books that would be of great help to all of us as parents and for the younger generation, get the book of Deuteronomy out, and it will tell you how to live in the midst of a wicked world and a nation that no longer believes the Bible is the final authority. And so interesting that when I get to this passage, all three times Jesus quoted from that book. Some concluding observations. Jesus knew what was in his Bible. Do you? I don't, young or old, we need to know what is in the Word of God. I can tell you that when I had some tough times in ministry, I often would leave the office and I would say on the way out the door to the three administrative assistants, okay, let me tell you something. I cannot go on today, but I'm going to tell you where I'll be if you need me. I'm going to go home because I need to read my Bible. I would challenge all the younger generation, if you're going to stand for God in these days, get your Bible out and read it. Jesus knew what was in his Bible. Second observation, he quoted it from memory. Now, again, I don't know the church that well yet, but I will tell you, and I want to thank the Lord, when I was a little boy, that the church my mom and dad put me in, where I got saved in Children's Church, was a church that they believed in the importance of teaching the children to memorize the Scripture. I'm not condemning anybody, any church that doesn't have a program that does that. All I'm saying is this. I can tell you there are verses that come to my mind and came to my mind on Friday night when I was 16 years of age, and I would remember these verses of Scripture and I would say to myself, you know what? I claim to be a child of God. I should not go there. And mom and dad, you won't always be there for your kids. You're not going to be with them. But if you've put the Word of God into their hearts, they'll be able to draw upon that when you're not there and when they're tempted by the world. If Jesus knew the verses, quoted them, I think we ought to emphasize Bible memory. I have a third thought. Jesus believed in verbal inspiration. Every word, he said. Not just the ideas, but every word is inspired in this Holy Bible. And then he, get this, Jesus applied the Scripture contextually. You say, what do you mean? Do you realize that he quoted three times from Deuteronomy, and that's when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness? And guess where Jesus is when the devil's tempting him? He's in the wilderness. He goes back to a book when God's people are in the wilderness and says to himself, these are verses that sustain them. They'll sustain me in the wilderness. The children of Israel were hungry in the wilderness. Jesus was hungry, it says in Matthew 4. And the devil says, that's because your father doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. And Jesus went back and quoted contextually from the book of Deuteronomy. Oh my goodness. They had lost their way in the wilderness. Jesus quoted from that book. I don't know if you want your kids to memorize a verse, but I'll tell you, if you don't, I'll tell you a good place to start. If I was going to teach my children right now, or grandchildren, I would say to them, I want you to memorize James 4:7, which says this, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I would say to I have four grandsons and four granddaughters, and I would say to them, if you will just resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Look at verse 11. Then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. What did Jesus do? He quoted the scriptures, and the devil left him. Let me tell you this. What I'm going to tell you is a true story. This appeared in a national Christian periodical. I kept the original article. The article was entitled Chance Encounter? Richard Park. The article says, an evangelical minister who recently returned, and this was years ago, from missionary work in the country of Greece. So the quote I'm going to give you from this article came from a missionary. I don't know Richard Park. Never met him. I don't even know what mission board he was with. But Richard Park told this in a letter to friends of his about a bus trip that he took from California to Washington, D.C. in March of 1981. He told his friends about this bus trip. Here's the exact quote from this missionary. He said, in Salt Lake City, I transferred to an express bus that arrived from Los Angeles. I picked out an empty seat by a young man named John, who became my seatmate for the next 1,000 miles of our journey. Naturally, we talked about many things. As the bus rolled along, he said, I, at one point, felt led of the Spirit of God to talk to John specifically about eternal matters. Where would his soul go when he dies? He said he had attended church as a child, but had drifted away from it in recent years. When I talked to him about how to be saved, he said, what does it mean to be born again? What does that mean? And he said, I explained it to him. During our many hours together, I had the opportunity to share my own story of how I came to know Jesus Christ some 18 years before. I spoke with John about his own need for Christ and about God's love and God's forgiveness. Though there was little outward response from John, he listened very carefully and asked me questions. Well, we got off the bus together in Washington, D.C. around noon on March 29th. Claimed our baggage, said our goodbyes, and he said, I went over to John, and these were my parting words. I said, John, I just believe God has had a reason for me to get to sit next to you and for us to get to meet. Richard Park said, next day, I was shocked and saddened, as you were too, to learn of the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan. Later that same afternoon, while looking at the TV screen, they put a still photograph of the alleged assassin on the screen. It was John W. Hinckley, Jr., my seatmate on the Greyhound bus. And John Hinckley's life pivoted off of that rejection of God's word. But God had sent a missionary to get onto the bus, to sit next to him, to talk to him before he tried to kill the president. I always wonder if anybody ever witnesses to those people that do things like that. Yes, they do. And he turned it away. Oh, if he had only said yes to Jesus Christ, his whole life would have been different. And so would his eternal life. Our Father, we want to thank you for this Word of God. Many of us have carried the book in today. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that we, in a moment of need, a moment of trial, a moment of temptation, can turn to your Word. Oh, God. If there's somebody here this morning, since I don't know all the people here, maybe their friend invited them to church. Maybe they think they wandered in today. Oh, no. No, you put them in this seat, not on a Greyhound bus, but in this auditorium, so that they could hear the Word of God and maybe get saved. Or if they're about to make a sinful choice that will hurt their family and destroy their life, they've heard a message that can change their life. Thank you that Jesus illustrated for us the importance of our Bible and how to use it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.